I think I mentioned in one of the classes a while back that I gotten interested in a topic, modern topic. Been talking to various young men who have had difficulties controlling their impulses as far as pornography and things like that. And one of the things I started noticing with each of the different people that I've been talking to is they all mention this habit of scrolling through content when they have nothing else to do. And that led to this lesson. As an illustration, just suppose a young lady named Maya. She sits down, she just needs a quick break before getting back to work. And so she pulls up her social media on her phone, and her thumb naturally begins the familiar rhythmic motion of scrolling through the content upward. And soon she's looked through 20 vacation photos of people that she barely ever knows. She's watched numerous recipe videos that she'll likely never make, and things like that going on. And the brief breaks, well, suddenly it's an hour and a half. And she stops, but her brain feels sluggish, foggy, scattered. Takes her another 20 minutes before she can really focus on her work. When we look at social media, they use psychological principles to keep their users engaged because they want to sell advertisement. That's really their focus, is to sell advertisement. And one of the examples of the principles they use is called infinite scroll. It basically gives the user a seemingly endless list of content where there's no natural stopping point. And so the user's tempted to go just a little bit further to see if the next thing might be interesting. In other words, because somebody's bored, they're looking for novelty, they're looking for entertainment. In one psychological paper I found, it says, this creates a reward loop similar to what's seen in gambling. You keep scrolling in anticipation of the next rewarding piece of content, creating a cycle that's difficult to break. This is the core element of psychology behind scrolling and a major reason why it can feel so compulsive. It's sometimes referred to as doom scrolling, in reference to people looking for bad or depressing news. Sometimes all compulsive scrolling is referred to as doom scrolling because you seem to be stuck till doomsday scrolling through it. See, in this particular case, there's a fear that you might be missing out on something. So you seek constant updates. Another psychology magazine said, doom scrolling aligns with the ADHD brain's wiring. It provides constant stimulation, frequent little rewards, and an easy outlet for impulsivity, all while distorting your sense of time. It's no surprise that so many ADHDers describe feeling sucked in to this behavior. And the algorithms that are used to create the scrolls, like I said, they're there to try to keep you going because they want to sell advertisement. Well, they naturally, their selection naturally gravitates to things that are more extreme in content because curiosity and excitement causes the viewer to continue to look. And so it becomes a gateway to things involving strong emotions, such as violence or sex. And there's a natural reinforcement of what a person's inclined to believe. Inappropriate or extreme behavior is then normalized because of the repeated exposure. One of the references I found in social sciences and humanities, it lists out the main reasons why or the motivations behind scrolling, and it was excitement seeking, diversion, because you're bored, fantasies, and they had down arousal, but I think it would be better to broaden that to pleasure seeking and a habitual pastime. Sometimes people just do it because that's their habit. A lot of the people I've been talking to, you know, well, what do you do as, you know, a bedtime routine? And almost all of them will say, well, I grab my phone and start scrolling until I get tired. First thing they wake up in the morning, alarm clock goes off. They grab their phone to turn off the alarm and they start scrolling because it's a habit to do. And I want you to think about the moral implications of this. One of the difficulties with it is that there's a lack of purpose. You know, just because you can do something, it doesn't mean that something you're doing is helpful. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here he's talking about something else. He's talking about the eating of meat, but it lays down a principle we should be considering. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Not everything is necessary or builds a person up. It might be, you know, when you look at it on the one level, it's perfectly benign. But another thing is, does it really help anything? No, we should be seeking the betterment of other people. Like, for instance, in Romans chapter 15, and in verse 2. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Christ spent his time, or I should read verse 2. For each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. And as we mentioned, Christ spent his time doing something for the benefit of us. We all should be looking to benefit each other. And yet the producers of scrolling media are not aiming for the building up of his viewers. They're just there for sales. They're not looking to benefit you, but rather to just keep you on as long as they can. And there's warnings in Proverbs that, you know, pursuing worthless things, things that have no value, it lacks sense. Take a look at Proverbs 12 and in verse 11. It says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. He's referring to a farmer. A farmer knows you got to do work in advance. You got to till the soil because that's going to prepare the ground for the planting next spring. It's so easy to put that off. But when you chase after worthless things, so that things that need to be done aren't done, he's saying that's senseless. And Proverbs 28, verse 19 says much the same thing. Another problem is that you're letting other people decide what you're watching. Oh, we feel like we are choosing because we get this long list, but really what's being presented to us is being chosen by a computer algorithm. And for the most part, the focus is on worldly things. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 2, Colossians 3, starting at verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. John tells us that we shouldn't have a love for this world. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And of course, the world is in darkness. It's not in light. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. You know, like Israel, these people kept looking backwards, walking backwards, back into sin. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7, and in verse 24, it says, yet they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels, in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. See, another problem is the activity is sedentary. It's passive. We're just letting something flow into us, but we're not really doing anything. Yet we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace that to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. We're to prepare our minds for action. You're looking at something so that I can, you know, looking at a help video so I can figure out how to fix the clog in the sink. That's preparing my mind for action. But just endlessly scrolling doesn't prepare us for any particular action. No, there's a warning in Proverbs chapter 18. And in verse 9, it says, he also who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. When we don't do things, it's destructive. One of the things I kept noticing with all the young men I keep talking to, what do you do for a hobby? It's amazing how many don't have an answer. They don't do anything. I remember, you know, having to repair cars. I remember doing woodworking. My grandmother taught me tatting and stuff like that. But think about how much do you actually productively do? What kind of hobbies do you have? When we don't keep ourselves busy, we become destructive. And Proverbs 21 has another warning. Proverbs 21, verse 25, it says, the desires of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. One of the things we've got to watch out for is just going after our desires, having desires, wanting things, but we don't put the effort into getting it. And that desires are going to kill us. And of course, laziness leads to misconduct. Have nothing else to do, and people tend to do things that are inappropriate. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 11, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Think about how many trolls there are out on the internet these days. People that have nothing to do but sit in mom and dad's basement and make snide comments about whatever anybody writes. How is that productive to society? How is that going to gain further benefit to anybody? Another problem is that this habit then leads to thrill-seeking. And thrill-seeking leads to rash behavior. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, and in verse 15, Proverbs 14, and in verse 15, it says, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. So many people don't think of where things lead. Rather, they're all focused on the immediate pleasure. The person becomes so focused on the thrill that he then makes mistakes because he's not thinking about the consequences. In Proverbs chapter 19, and in verse 2, also is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. Related to that is chasing pleasures. And again, Proverbs has messages for us. In Proverbs 21, and in verse 17, he who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. When we're chasing after pleasures, it's going to impact our economic situation. We can say with scrolling that it just leads to laziness and you don't put in the work that you could do. So you're not making as much. But it also tends to, like I said, it's there for advertisement. We end up spending more than we should. We buy things that we really don't need. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 1. So, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, although they have denied his power, avoid such men as these. When you give yourself over to worldly pleasures, it's going to lead to your death. If we go back to chapter 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, says, but she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Since we're talking about spiritual death. You get to the point where you're not feeling, not looking at the good. Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3 about people who follows after their own appetites. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, for many of whom I often told you, and now even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. He also warns us in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Slaves of their own appetites. Of course, as we talked about doom scrolling, focusing on bad news, wanting to not lose out, there's again, you know, gossip's always been a problem. And this really is a form of gossip. And in Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18 and verse 8, it says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. It's like going to a get-together, and they got these nice little hors d'oeuvres, you know, just the little bites that you know pop in your mouth, and the next thing you know, you ate in five of them. Because they taste really good. Gossip's that way. Bad news is that way. You don't realize how many you're popping, but they become a part of you. You can't get them back out. You know, once they go into you, they become part of your body. The bad news starts becoming a part of you. You start changing the way you think. Proverbs 26, verse 22 also says basically the same thing. What we consume changes our views. That's why there's warnings that, you know, gossip can separate even the closest of friends. In Proverbs 16 and in verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Yes, there's bad news in the world. There's always going to be bad news. But I don't have to focus on it. In fact, those who follow wisdom knows that it's not going to really impact life. Not their life, if they don't let it. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, wisdom says, he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. For following after wisdom, I don't have to be afraid of evil. Yes, it's out there. It might even enter my world and I might have to deal with it someday. But do I have to constantly worry about it? And the answer is no. In Psalms 112 and in verse 7, he will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. There's where my confidence ought to be. God takes care of his people. He's always taking care of me. I just need to have trust that God will take care of whatever this current problem is. So how do we break the habit? It's so compulsive. It's so mind-numbing. It's so habitual. Well, one idea is limit your access. Now, we have phones with us all the time. I'm bored. I pull out my phone. I wonder what other people are doing. I pull out my phone. We just constantly use it. And it's a good tool, but we need to practice some self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 26, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not as beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Have purpose in what you're doing, not wasting energy on useless actions, keeping yourself under control. So when you need to interact with other people, like at dinner time, put the phone away. It's a simple thing. When you should be sleeping, put this phone someplace else. Put it on the other side of the house. Or if you're in an apartment, on the other side of the room. I've told a lot of young men that, you know how hard they have to do that? Oh, I couldn't do that. Why not? Well, I need the alarm. Put it on the other side of the room. You'll still hear it. You can't raise the volume. Then you have to get out of bed to at least turn it off. But you don't have to have it at your bedside. In fact, all the psychology magazines tell you, you know, the best thing to do is don't use your phone for the first 30 to 60 minutes of the day. Don't allow yourself to pick it up, period. The world will not end. Yet the times of greatest temptation are just before we fall asleep and just after we wake up. Limit your time. So many people tell me they start scrolling and then the next thing they know, they've been up half the night. We need to make the most of our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. You have to put a timer on. Believe it or not, some of these phones do have timers on them. Only allow yourself certain times of the day to scan social media if you want to look at it. Don't take your phone with you to the restroom. You need a distraction, take a book. But you don't need to be constantly scrolling. Turn off the notifications for the social media. Take control of your time. Every one of those little smartphones that you can say which things ding you and which things don't. You really don't need the dings for the social media. You know, one of the things that can pull people away from God is the cares of this world. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 22, and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It isn't wrong to be aware of what's going on, but to allow constant interruption to pull your attention away from the things that you need to be doing, well, that can lead to problems. The worries of life can be a trap. Take a look at Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 34. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with the dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that the days will not come on you suddenly like a trap. No, we don't have much time in the world. Don't get caught up in the worries of life so that you are not prepared for whenever Christ does come. Dissipation means excessive indulgence in pleasure. Or pretending that problems are not really there. Drunkenness is usually done because people want to avoid problems. Worries of life, immersing yourselves into the problems. Put more purpose in your life. Ask yourself if what you're doing is going to help or improve you. Is it going to help you help others? Like, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you're looking at something, ask yourself, do I need this to make a decision? And above all, practice patience. The world won't end if I don't look at my phone until later. I was watching a little clip last night about a teacher. He's got some good ideas for teaching classes. One of his classes, he put a box in front of the thing, and as the students came in, he says, put your phone in there. Everybody who puts their phone in there will get an A at the end of the class. If they keep the phone in the box during class. It was a vast majority of students says, oh, worth it. But it was really humorous to see some people say, no. They couldn't let go that long. Not just even for one class period. Computers, telephones, and even social media can serve useful purposes. But don't let the tools dominate such that your focus is on the tool instead of the tasks that were there to be accomplished. I hope you'll think about these things. I'm hoping that these lessons will help some of the young men that I've been working with. But I would like you to think about it in your life and how it applies. We have so little time here in this world. And Christ is coming. And we'll be meeting our Savior. Are we ready for that? I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here who's not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song that was selected for you.